Hello, I'm Daniel Finnan. Welcome to this week's Spotlight on Africa. We're going to hear about the crisis in Burundi sparked by President Pierre Nkurunziza's decision to stand for re-election. The ensuing protests have already seen several people killed and a crackdown on dissidents and the independent media. First of all, let's hear from Nkurunziza at the weekend when his ruling CNDD-FDD party chose him as a candidate for June's elections.
This party conference is truly extraordinary because it's a response by God to the numerous prayers of activists and all of our friends, because this conference was truly fought on all sides. The traps and attacks we've suffered are like a staircase that leads to a house. Congratulate yourself, because today we've arrived at our destination, despite everything. But I'd like to come back to the history of our party, the CNDD-FDD. This party isn't like the others, which are born of people who come together to defend just ideas. The CNDD-FDD party was born of an armed movement that rose up against the enemies of democracy in our country, Burundi. It's not one person who created it. The people created it, rising up to say we've suffered too much. It's a historic legacy, and nobody should think that they can put an end to this fight with mere words.
We hear there about the ruling party's credentials as the most significant rebel group during the civil war. The demonstrations against another term in office for the president lie within the interpretation of the constitution, whether it really would be his third term. Jean-Régis Douimana is a political activist and university lecturer in Burundi. On the line from the capital, Bujumbura, he says people have had enough.
Yeah, the president, what he did, I think he tested all of us. He tested all the population who are against the third term. So people, according to civil society, they decided they won't stop this movement until president stepped down.
It's not clear yet whether the protests will continue. The opposition has yet to weigh in. However, activist Douimana says they'll continue to oppose the president even if the Electoral Commission and the courts allow him to stand in the elections.
No. I don't think even if he can, the CENI and the Constitution and the Supreme Court decided to maintain him as a candidate, it has been a very, very, very critical term, the second one, because he has been criticized on his policies. It's a third state, actually. Burundi is a third state. So I don't see the opposition saying that we are done with this regime. Let him run. No, they will fight until President Nkurunziza step down.
Whether the political opposition joins the protest movement could be a key factor. Agathon Rwasa is the leader of Burundi's largest opposition party, the FNL, another rebel group turned political party. He's warned that Nkurunziza running for another term could plunge the country into chaos. But if it doesn't, what will it mean for the elections? Yolande Buka is a Burundi expert from the Institute for Security Studies in Nairobi. She says this doesn't bode well for June's polls.
Well, I mean, in terms of legitimacy and transparency, the ruling party is shooting itself in the foot. Last elections, it was mostly the opposition that made a tactical mistake by boycotting the elections. And this time around, with the CNDD-FDD, is creating an environment that will be very difficult for the international community and international observers to say, this is a free and fair elections. You're making it impossible for one of the important pillars of democracy, which is the civil society and the press, to push back against potential abuse and question some of the government's behavior. That being said, there hasn't been any similar repression at the moment on the political opposition.
Why do you think they've not yet entered the protests? Do you think there's some negotiations going on behind the scenes? Why have they not come out in support of the protesters yet?
One of the main reasons is obviously Agathon Rwasa's decision not to get involved in the protest. And I think on his part, it's probably because he's seen what's happened following protests last year, mass incarceration, de facto disqualification from running. You can't run when you're in hiding. So I think it may be being aware of the legal consequences for him should he engage in the protest. Now, the question is, he hasn't said anything about other people. So the reasons why the FNL or the people associated with the organization have not chosen not to enter the protest, maybe because they're waiting on his call, maybe because they're not ready to enter. There's a possibility, as you mentioned, that Wasa may be negotiating. He's talked about wanting to negotiate with the ruling party. We're not quite sure what there is to negotiate at this point.
One of the key issues is the role of the security forces. The army has been deployed around Bujumbura, while it's the police who have been responding to the demonstrations, arresting over 300 people and using live rounds to break up the protests. Christoph Vogel is a Great Lakes specialist from the University of Zurich. He says the police are backing up the president. As for the army, it's hard to know whether they'd take sides.
For now, it seems that especially the police seems to be pretty much in line with the government, as we've seen in the past couple of days, but even before. The police has recently always been the favorite strategy of Nkurunziza to crack down on protests. For the army, it's much more difficult. It's kind of a patchwork construction in post-war Burundi. Like, it's mainly made up of former CNDD-FDD rebels on the side of the current government, but also of the former armed forces in Burundi. There are definitely some fault lines within the army, and there is also some tendency that the army might not even want to interfere as much into the current political struggles. And as a last point, it's also important to note that Burundian's army has been also hailed as a major success of post-war security sector reform.
Some are already concerned that if violence against the protests continues and armed conflict begins, it could have regional implications. Rwanda and Burundi were previously one colonial administration before splitting into two countries upon independence. They also have close ethnic ties. Vogel says Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo could play a role if the situation took a turn for the worst, although he's optimistic that there still could be a non-violent handover of power.
The historic ties between Burundi and Rwanda are that strong that basically no major negative development that we have seen in post-colonial history happened without the inclusion of the brother or sister country, vice versa. Again, Congo as well is also a key factor since it has been unwillingly serving also as a rear base for many different Burundian armed actors more in the past, like CNDD-FDD benefited from attacks they could launch from Congolese territory during the civil war, but more recently also the armed opposition, notably FNL, who has one splinter faction still maintaining important bases in eastern Congo. But on the other side, I'd rather stay a little bit optimistic at this point, maybe also offering a scenario where increasing opposition against Nkurunziza and this, as it seems, the current stand of the army, that the army doesn't seem to be really willing to step in favor of the president, could, if things go well, also lead to a rather peaceful kind of transition process in the end.
For the moment, the regional effects of the crisis in Burundi mainly concerns refugees. The UN's refugee agency in Rwanda says over 20,000 people have fled Burundi over the past 2 weeks. Frederic Naku Njiji Nbe is the spokesman for Rwanda's Ministry of Disaster Management and Refugee Affairs. He says they're expecting more Burundians seeking refuge.
The refugees, first of all, are entering through different entry points. Then the Ministry of Disaster Management and Refugee Affairs has established some transit centers, three transit centers, where refugees are taken from the border to be received there and registered and given, of course, basic humanitarian assistance. And then from these transit centers, we have established now a camp where big numbers can be hosted. Then refugees are transported from those transit centers to the new refugee camp established in the eastern province.
Do you anticipate more refugees to continue entering Rwanda?
Yeah, we expect, because as days goes by, the number of those that we receive at a daily basis is increasing. So, yeah, actually, we are expecting more in the coming days.
The Western powers have been quick to issue statements about the protests and Nkurunziza's third term. The State Department in Washington says the U.S. deeply regrets the ruling party's decision to disregard presidential term limits. A spokesman for the French Ministry of Foreign Affairs reiterated the need for peaceful and transparent elections. For Spotlight on Africa, I'm Daniel Finan.